Ever feel like you're just totally drowning in research papers and reports?
Right.
And don't even get me started on those data management plans.
Right.
But what if I told you DMPs are about to get, like, a total makeover? We're not just talking about checking boxes for funders anymore.
Yeah, it's way more exciting than that.
This is about tools that can actually make your research life, you know, easier.
We're diving deep into machine-readable DMPs in this deep dive, where they go from basically static documents to, like, dynamic tools. Tools that can help researchers, like, actually manage their entire research project.
We're talking DMPs that practically write themselves.
Okay, maybe not quite.
Okay, but freeing up your time to, you know, focus on the actual research, the stuff you love.
Definitely.
But before we get ahead of ourselves, let's rewind a bit. DMPs, believe it or not, have been around longer than you might think.
Oh yeah, way longer. Their roots go all the way back to, like, the 1960s.
60s, seriously?
Seriously. In 1966, they were used for managing data in, get this, aeronautical and engineering projects.
Wow, talk about a blast from the past. From airplanes to, well, practically every research field imaginable, DMPs have come a long way.
They really have.
But let's be real, they haven't always been the most, shall we say, exciting.
Or user-friendly.
Exactly. But that's where these so-called enhanced DMPs come in.
These aren't about just ticking boxes for funders anymore. This is about making your research life easier and, hopefully, more productive.
Okay, I'm intrigued, I have to admit. How do we actually enhance a DMP? What's the secret sauce?
Well, one key ingredient is incorporating smart metrics. Have you heard of those?
Smart metrics. Vaguely.
Specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound.
Oh, right, right. I love a good acronym.
Who doesn't?
So instead of vague goals, smart DMPs provide, like, this clear roadmap for success.
Exactly. Yeah. Imagine you're a principal investigator, right? You're juggling multiple projects, deadlines, the whole nine yards.
Yeah, sounds stressful.
A smart DMP helps you stay on track, make sure everyone's working towards, you know, clear, well-defined goals.
I can definitely see how that would be a game changer for PIs, especially those managing large teams. But let's break down these smart metrics a little bit.
Sure.
I think understanding each piece is key to, like, unlocking their power.
Absolutely.
What does specific actually mean in the context of, you know, a DMP?
So it's about being crystal clear about what you're trying to achieve with your research, I mean. Instead of some vague objective, like, analyze data.
Which basically describes, like, 90% of research projects.
Right. A specific goal would be something like analyze data to determine the correlation between X and Y.
So it's about setting a precise target, which makes sense if you actually want to make it measurable.
Right. We need to be able to, like, track progress, quantify success, all that.
Exactly.
So it's about setting concrete benchmarks. For example, instead of saying collect data, you'd specify collect data from 200 participants by date.
Oh, I see. So you can actually monitor your progress.
Exactly. And identify any bottlenecks early on.
It's starting to feel less like a tedious form and more like a dynamic project management tool, you know?
Exactly.
This could save so much time and headache down the road.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, what about achievable? How do we make sure our DMP sets, you know, realistic expectations?
That's where a good dose of, you know, realism comes in. Consider your resources, expertise, time constraints, all of that. It's about setting ambitious goals, yes, but attainable ones. You don't want to get overwhelmed or, you know, discouraged.
Right, because an overly ambitious plan is just setting you up for frustration.
Exactly.
Okay, next step is relevant.
Gotcha.
What's the key takeaway here? How do we make sure our DMP is focused on the, like, the big picture?
Relevance ensures your goals, your research goals, align with the broader objectives of the project. It's about answering the so what question.
The so what?
Yeah. How does this research actually contribute to the field? Why should anyone care?
It's about making sure all the pieces fit together to tell a, like, cohesive and impactful story.
Exactly.
And finally, time bound. The all-important deadlines that, you know, keep us on track.
Crucial, crucial. Every objective needs a clearly defined timeline. Break down the research into manageable chunks, each with its own time frame.
This helps researchers anticipate potential delays.
Yeah.
And ensures a smooth workflow.
Exactly. It's like having a built-in project manager right there in your DMP.
I love it.
It brings this, like, level of organization and transparency that can be incredibly beneficial, especially for collaborative projects.
Yeah, for sure. So we're talking about, like, smart DMPs.
Right.
And how they bring that project management mindset to research.
Yeah.
Like having a roadmap for success built, you know, right in.
Yeah, it's like a game changer for a lot of researchers.
Totally. But speaking of roadmaps, you mentioned something earlier about technology readiness levels.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds intriguing, but honestly also a bit like intimidating, maybe.
It's not as complex as it sounds, honestly. Don't worry. Just think of it like technology readiness levels or TRLs as like a maturity scale, but for technology.
All right.
They basically help you assess how ready, like how mature an intellectual asset is, something like, you know, a software program or a specific algorithm
Got it.
to figure out if it's ready for practical application.
So it's like a measuring stick for
Yeah.
technology that tells us if it's ready for, you know,
For prime time, yeah.
exactly for prime time.
Yeah.
Where did this whole concept even come from?
NASA. NASA pioneered TRLs.
Of course they did.
Well, because they needed a way to assess, you know, the maturity of different technologies
Right.
before actually using them in
Right. You
missions.
don't want to send astronauts into space with like software that's still in beta testing.
Exactly. Bad idea. So.
Yeah, not good. So how do these TRLs actually like work in practice?
So NASA has this nine-level system.
Nine levels.
Nine levels. It ranges from, you know, basic research all the way to fully operational, flight-proven technology.
Wow, that's quite a range. Nine
It
levels.
is a pretty wide range, yeah.
So how does this tie back into, you know,
To DMPs.
DMP? Yeah, DMPs and research planning for
Yeah.
those of us who aren't, you know, launching rockets into space.
Right, of course. So researchers can actually use TRLs within their DMPs
Okay.
to kind of assess and track the readiness of the technology they're developing.
Okay.
So let's say, for example, you have a research team
Yeah.
and they're creating a software module to analyze genetic data. They could use TRLs to track its progress, you know, from the initial like concept
Great.
all the way to a fully functional like tool that they can
Got
use.
it. Got it. So let's say this genetic analysis software, it's still in its early stages.
Okay.
They've just like validated the core components in, you know, a lab setting. What TRL would that be?
That would probably be around a TRL 4, I'd say, which basically means that the core technology has been validated,
Okay.
but, you know, in a lab setting.
TRL 4, validated in the lab.
Okay.
So they've got a proof of concept, but it's not quite ready for prime time.
Exactly.
What would happen next?
So then their enhanced DMP would outline the next steps
Okay.
to move that software up the TRL ladder.
Got it, got it.
So, for instance, to reach TRL 6, which is a bit higher, they might need to test the software with real-world genetic data, like from a larger study population.
So it's like taking it out of the controlled lab environment and
Exactly.
seeing how it performs in the real world.
Exactly. You got it. And then,
That's cool.
yeah. And as they complete those steps, you know, and the software proves itself, they update the TRL in their DMP. And this provides this transparent record of the technology's development
Right.
and its journey to becoming this, you know, reliable tool for the research community.
I like it. It's like building a pedigree for your technology,
Right.
showing how it's matured, become more reliable. And
Interesting.
I can see how valuable this would be,
Yeah.
not just for the researchers themselves,
Yeah.
but also for like, you know, potential funders or collaborators looking at their work.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Increases transparency, builds confidence
Totally.
in the technology for sure. And here's where it gets even more interesting.
Okay.
Enhanced DMPs, they're not just limited to like managing data or software.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
We're going beyond data sets and software.
Beyond that, yeah.
What else can be included in these things?
Think about publications, patents, algorithms, training
True.
materials, even physical prototypes. Enhanced DMPs can really help manage the entire like spectrum of research outputs.
Wow. That's a truly holistic view of like the entire research process
Yeah.
that's moving far beyond just data management.
It's a big shift, but it reflects, I think, a growing understanding that all these different research outputs, they require their own like tailored management approaches. It's not one size fits all anymore.
It makes sense that a data set would need a different management plan than like a physical prototype.
Exactly.
Right.
It
Less
does.
is way more like nuanced and it
Yeah.
seems much more effective.
It is. It is. And this has a ripple effect then on how research is shared, discovered,
Right.
and ultimately how it makes an impact.
Right.
And speaking of impact, we can't forget the FAIR principles.
Ah, yes. Yep.
Findable, accessible, interoperable, and reusable.
Yes, fair. I've definitely I've heard about these principles,
Yeah.
But how do they connect to these enhanced DMPs that we've been talking about?
So enhanced DMPs are a fantastic framework for implementing FAIR principles.
Okay.
Think about it. When you're using SMART metrics to define objectives and TRLs to assess technology readiness,
yeah,
you're already building in a high level of documentation and metadata.
Right. Because to make something like measurable
yes.
and track its progress,
yeah.
you need clear data points
yes.
and evidence.
Yeah, you got it.
And to assign a TRL,
mm-hmm.
you need to like thoroughly document mm-hmm. all of the technologies. You know,
of capabilities.
Features, capabilities.
Features, yeah, exactly. You're totally right.
So it's all connected.
It is. And that rich metadata is essential for making research outputs, you know, findable.
Right.
When researchers include really detailed descriptions, keywords, links to related resources, mm-hmm. it becomes so much easier for others to discover and access their work.
Yeah, it's like you're creating this like detailed map to guide other researchers to your research.
Your treasure?
Treasure, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So enhanced DMPs support making things findable. What about accessible?
So by outlining data storage and sharing plans, enhanced DMPs encourage researchers to think about that long-term access.
Right.
They can specify which repositories they'll use,
okay.
any access restrictions, and how other people can even request access to their data or software.
So it's about being like intentional.
Yes.
About making research outputs accessible, but also transparent about that process.
Yes, exactly.
To the wider research community.
Yes.
Both during and after the project is done.
Exactly, exactly. And this actually ties into interoperable as well. When researchers use like standardized formats and vocabularies, it's much easier to integrate their data or software with other resources.
Right. So instead of research outputs just existing in like isolation.
Yep. Silos.
They yeah, become yeah. part of a larger network of knowledge.
Exactly, exactly. And then finally, you have reusable, which is like the ultimate goal, I think, of FAIR.
Because what good is research if it just sits on a shelf?
Exactly. We want research to have a lasting impact,
right.
contribute to new discoveries,
yeah.
and enhanced DMPs promote that reusability by encouraging researchers to use clear licensing agreements, detailed documentation, and open source tools
right.
whenever possible.
So it seems like by the time a researcher like completes an enhanced DMP,
mm-hmm.
they haven't just, you know, created this roadmap for their own project,
right.
but they've also like paved the way for the research to be easily found,
right.
accessed, integrated, reused to advance knowledge
yeah.
like in their field and beyond.
Totally.
That's amazing.
It's about fostering this like more connected, collaborative, impactful research ecosystem.
I like it.
It is exciting, but yeah. I do understand that implementing these enhanced DMPs
right.
with all these new tools, it's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot to take on.
It is.
We've covered like SMART metrics, TRLs, FAIR principles, and it's a lot to like digest.
It is a lot to digest, yeah. But remember, these are all designed to make life easier.
Right, right, of course.
Not harder.
Of course.
And there's actually another tool that can help streamline this whole process.
Okay, tell me more, because...
So have you heard of behavior-driven development, or BDD?
BDD, okay. I have to admit, that sounds a little... intimidating. Do I need like a computer science degree to understand this?
Not at all. BDD is all about using like clear everyday language
okay.
to define how things should work. It's like you're writing a script,
okay,
but for your research
okay.
where you outline specific scenarios and what you expect the outcomes to be.
Interesting. So instead of saying like we will analyze the data in our methods section or whatever,
right.
you would actually write out like a step-by-step scenario
exactly
with like clear actions and expected results.
Exactly. And the best part, there's a specific syntax that's used
okay.
that's called Gherkin. And it's both human readable, so we can understand it.
Right.
But it's also machine readable.
Hold on. Did you say machine readable? So you're telling me these BDD scenarios like can talk to computers?
In a way, yes.
Okay.
So Gherkin uses this like really structured format.
Right.
So it can be used to create these automated tests.
Okay.
That will actually check if your research processes are like working the way you expect them to.
Wow. So this is like next level automation then.
It really is.
And we're talking about DMPs that don't just describe the plan, but they can also like help execute the plan.
Yes.
And make sure everything is actually running smoothly.
Exactly.
Can you give me like a concrete example?
Of course.
Of how BDD would work within a, like an enhanced DMP.
Absolutely. So remember our example from earlier?
About
the researchers who were ingesting data for their project?
Yes. Yeah.
So in their DMP, they could include like a BDD scenario that might look something like this.
Yeah.
Scenario, successful data ingestion with metadata, you know, for provenance.
Right.
Given a data source with, you know, valid schema,
mm-hmm.
when the data is ingested into the system,
okay.
then the system should validate and store that data.
Okay.
And the ingestion time should be recorded.
Okay. So I'm seeing like the Gherkin syntax here.
Right? Exactly.
Given when.
There you go. Yeah.
It's like a set of like clear, easy to follow instructions.
And you can embed the smart metrics
oh, right.
that we talked about before right into these scenarios.
Oh, that's cool.
So you might say something like the ingestion time should be under 2 minutes,
right.
which would be, you know, a measurable benchmark for that time-bound element.
Right, right. So BDD adds this layer of like precision
yes.
and testability
yeah.
to the DMP. So
yeah.
it's not just about describing what you're going to do.
It's how you'll know you're doing it correctly.
Exactly.
Exactly. And because these scenarios are machine readable, you can automate that entire testing process.
Okay.
So imagine a system that's automatically checking if your data ingestion is happening the right way.
Right.
And it can flag any errors or delays like in real time.
That would be incredible.
Yeah.
No more like manually checking logs.
Exactly.
Or like discovering a data management problem like weeks into the project.
Oh, yeah. We've all been there.
Yeah.
So it's really about making research more efficient, more transparent, and honestly less stressful.
It sounds amazing. This is really painting a very exciting picture of the future of research.
I think so.
But I also want to acknowledge that, you know, putting these enhanced DMPs into practice
mm-hmm.
with all these like new tools and everything, this might seem like a big change for some people.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And that's where data stewards come in.
Okay. Tell me about data stewards.
So data stewards are essentially like guides.
Okay.
Who offer support to researchers throughout the entire research life cycle.
So they're like the Sherpas.
Yeah.
Then.
Yes. I love that analogy. Yes.
Guiding researchers through this, like new terrain.
Exactly. So they can help with everything.
Okay.
From, you know, drafting and reviewing DMPs to like providing training on FAIR principles, on BDD and other best practices.
So if a researcher is feeling, you know, a little lost or overwhelmed by all this, they can reach out to their data steward. That's great.
Yeah.
It's really reassuring to know that that support is out there.
And the support is really tailored, too. They provide advice. They answer questions. They can connect researchers with resources.
It sounds like they're like a dedicated support team.
Essentially, yeah.
To help researchers navigate this whole like evolving landscape of data management and research outputs.
I think that's a great way to put it. So we've come a long way from
we have.
DMPs managing airplane data in the 60s.
Right. From humble beginnings to
this vision of like machine actionable DMPs that have the potential to, you know, really transform research as we know it.
And it really is about, you know, not making things more complex necessarily, mm-hmm. but building on those core principles of good research.
Yes, exactly. Careful planning, clear documentation, a commitment to sharing that knowledge so that it's findable, accessible, interoperable, reusable.
And now with smart metrics, TRLs, BDD, and data stewards, researchers have like the tools and the framework.
They have what they need
to put these principles into practice.
It's an exciting time to be a researcher, for sure. I'm really interested to see how all this plays out.
Yeah, how this new generation of DMPs will like shape the future of research.
For sure.
It's a great point to end on. So for everyone listening,
yeah.
next time you open up a DMP, don't just see it as like another task on your to-do list.
It's an opportunity.
It's an opportunity to not only streamline your own research, but also to, you know, contribute to the global research community.
Exactly.
Until next time, happy researching, everybody.